Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jerry Recco!
All right, 8:30 in New York City. Mark Melusis is off today, and we've got the rare Sunday morning program. Matter of fact, it kicks off a stretch with myself and Willie Colon starting tomorrow. Well, you'll get a lot of me, like it or not. Moose is off, so we will take you for the next 4.5 hours. We've got Rami here. We'll talk to him later. We will talk to you guys as well. 888-808-1019 is the number. We've got a bunch of people coming on today. Nothing crazy, but I figure over 4.5 hours, getting a couple of people on that are close to these situations might be better than me talking to myself for that time. So, Pat Ragazzo from Sports Illustrated coming up in a couple of hours. We got Ricky Ricardo on the Yankee situation in the 11 o'clock hour. And my guy Steve Berline from Compass Media Networks talking NFC East football, the Giants, the Cowboys, all of that stuff as well in NFL. And we will get into it all with you on the phones as well for, again, the next 4.5 hours. There are some days you come in to do a show, and I don't do them often, as you guys know. I fill in for Boomer and Geo, and that's pretty much the extent of it. I am running into a fall schedule, though, that is going to have me on the run and on the road often with a lot of flights, and there's going to be a lot of days off. So why not do a Sunday show to make up a day? What the hell? And so there are some days that kind of just write themselves, you know, and this is kind of one of those days because I am left with, I watch a lot of baseball, and I really do enjoy it, and I know I battle with Al Dukes about this on a pretty regular basis. Al cannot understand why people love baseball so much and the length of a baseball season. Well, I'm one of those idiots. I look forward to spring training, not so much the length of it, but I look forward to when, you know, the spring training games start. It might go a little too long. They might play a few too many games, but I'm into it, and I love opening day, and I love, you know, I wouldn't say I love the crappy weather games in April and May, but there's something comforting about having the Mets or the Yankees on at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and you kind of know it's there. And then you get into the dog days of summer, and you're hoping for some sort of a playoff push, playoff run. And we've got teams now with owners that spend money. The Mets for years and years and years with the Wilpons, fans annoyed that they don't spend the money they should be spending. Yet they did go to the World Series in 2015. Now Steve Cohen comes in, and we've got deep pockets, and everybody thinks it's going to be a waltz to the postseason. Why wouldn't it be? You've got 3 wild cards, for God's sake. Should be easy. It's not. And then the Yankees, while fans would like them to spend maybe a little bit more, they spend a lot, and they put out on the field a lot of star players. And so when I say the show writes itself, I'm left with this question after this weekend so far going into today. What are we watching with these two teams? Like, what, when you look at the Yankees' up and down nature of this season and yesterday's game, I mean, the last couple have just been gross. And I don't even know if there's another way to describe it. Yesterday, all right, 12-1, kind of a putrid ninth inning for sure, but they weren't winning that game before that top of the ninth inning. The offense is just stagnant. And it's just been one of these seasons where at times the Yankees look like a fantastic baseball team. At other times they look like complete and utter crap. And other times they're kind of right there stuck in the middle. The Mets have been the same way. The Mets at times, if you go back to April, were one of the best teams in baseball. May, June and July, gross, disgusting, terrible, one of the worst teams in baseball. And yet you watch the last couple of games and you start to feel okay about them. 2.5 game lead, wild card, the third wild card, that is, with Cincinnati losing, and here we are. The problem with these two teams, though, at least for me, is I'm not sold on either one. You know, I filled in with Giannotti last week, and we were talking about the likelihood of the Mets making the postseason, and I said, actually, at this point, I feel likely that they're not going to make the postseason. Pitching was in shambles. The offense is up and down. Now, they start to hit the ball, that's for sure. You look at the last week and a half of games, they are hitting the ball, and they're scoring a lot of runs. But their pitching has just not been good. Now, if not for Nolan McClain, I don't know if they would have won any of these games. He seemed like he was the stopper last week. He was the stopper a couple of days ago. You got a nice start from Clay Holmes yesterday. You know, now, what do you get going forward in this finale? Can they sweep the Braves? Can David Peterson build on that eight-inning performance last time out and pitch them to a sweep? Can they continue to hit the baseball? Has Mark Vientos returned to form? Like, are we seeing the Mark Vientos from last year's postseason? And is he now going to take off? Or is really the bigger portion of the season where he was kind of not much, will that return? Has Brett Beatty turned a corner? Will Juan Soto start hitting with runners in position, in scoring position? There are so many of these questions with these two teams that, you know, as you sit here on whatever, the final week of August, going into Labor Day weekend on Friday, what are they? So I sat down yesterday. Now, usually, I'm not going to lie to you, a 1 o'clock game on a Saturday afternoon when it's 80 degrees with no humidity, I'm usually not watching that game. That's one of those games where I'll watch the game in fast forward that night or the next morning. I sat down knowing I was doing this today. I made sure I sat down and watched every pitch of that game because I kind of figured, even win, I thought win or lose, the Yankees would be a big topic today. And I was expecting some sort of a better game, and here's why. I thought Will Warren going to the mound would keep them in the game. Now, unfortunately, while Will Warren has been good, he really has, at least when I've watched him this year, and maybe the numbers don't speak to it as much, but I really do think that Will Warren's been a good pitcher this year for the Yankees. Now, he's had a couple of games that you can kind of throw out the window, and what I mean by that is just bad starts. I think there was a game against the Blue Jays where he wasn't very good. I remember the game against the Braves, he wasn't good. They needed Will Warren to kind of give him a few innings. Shut him down for a few innings yesterday to kind of allow the Yankees to figure out their way against Crochet. And it didn't happen. You know, Boston comes up in the third inning. He was kind of dancing around trouble for a little while. Well, in the third inning, they got to him. And in the fourth inning, they got to him. And I was actually surprised. Now, I'm one, I am so exhausted from the lack of depth from starting pitching. And thank God to Ron Darling, who posted, he was on the podcast with John Heyman and Joel Sherman the other day talking about starting pitching and the way they're developed now. And that, you know, what he said, which I thought was amazing, he was talking about how pitchers in single A, they're given like a 50 pitch count. And then maybe by double A, they'll give them 65. So by the time they get to the majors, they're not conditioned to do anything more than 90 or 95 or 100 pitches. And what always blows my mind with pitching is you can't wait to get to the bullpen. Relievers stink. They're incredibly inconsistent. It's the nature of the beast, but we can't wait to pull guys out. That having been said, I was actually surprised when I saw Warren go back out to the mound in the fifth inning yesterday. And then what happens? Trevor Story hits the home run right after, and that was the killer of it too. He gives up the home run right after the Stanton home run where you're thinking, all right, maybe they can find some offense here. They cut it to 4-1. Giancarlo Stanton's been good. But before you can even enjoy the home run, he gives up the home run to Story. Bam, 5-1. And then Aaron Boone pulls him. Tim Hill pitched well. Paul Blackburn, by the way, for a couple of innings was okay. That ninth inning, he was the sacrificial lamb. I mean, he couldn't get anybody out. and then you're watching it, and then and listening to Kay and Paul O'Neill and David Cohn. I mean, it's just, it felt like, remember the video last year when the Mets were off to that putrid start, and you had Gary Cohn talking about, you know, day game in April, it's dreary out, the team's not playing well, there's no one in the ballpark, rock bottom. That's what it felt like. Now, I don't want to overstate this. The Yankees are 9 or 10 games over 500. They are not a brutal baseball team by any stretch, but they're also not a great baseball team, and the record proves that out. A great baseball team is 30 games over 500. 25, not 9 games. They are a playoff team, but they're an average playoff team. It's what the standings say. It's what the record says. You can't argue that fact. But that felt like rock bottom to me yesterday at 69-60. And there have been a lot of lows this season. The Boston Red Sox have kicked their ass now. Eight straight. Like, I went into that game yesterday, and they throw the pitching matchups out the window. I'm looking at a Yankee team that's got Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Cody Bellinger, Paul Goldschmidt. I actually liked that they had Rosario at third to start the game. I liked that they had Caballero at second, a little bit of a different look. You know, everything they were doing, I was kind of into the game thinking, all right, we're going to snap out of this. And if I was a betting man, and I'm really not, I mean, certainly I make a bet here and there. I'm not immune to it. But I don't bet every day. For a brief moment, I actually said, I'm going to take the Yankees today. This has to stop. This can't continue. Well, it continued. And what you love about the Red, you know, I'm watching the Red Sox play baseball yesterday, and I'm not going to sit here and talk about bunting and small ball or any of that crap, but, you know, there's something to be said about a team that can score runs and do it in a way where you are not reliant on the 450-foot home run. And I thought, watching yesterday's game, it felt like a microcosm of all the Yankee playoff issues they have had over the last five, I know they were in the World Series last year, but 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, to where they run into good pitching and the pitching dominates the hitting and they're constantly looking for the three-run homer. And, you know, when you look at the way the Red Sox, again, I'm just talking about yesterday. We can talk about the 1-0 game on Friday too, because the Yankee offense has been literally a zero for two straight games now. I'm watching the Red Sox yesterday. They have a bases-loaded situation and nobody out. Were they swinging for the grand slam? Listen, you run into one, you run into one. There's no question about it. But what you got instead was two solid swings, deep fly balls, score the runs, move the runners along, and they wind up pushing across a couple of runs. How many times have we watched the Mets and Yankees with runners in scoring position be unable to just do that? And I know it's not easy. That's why I'm sitting here talking to you. That's why you're listening to me. That's why Rami's pushing buttons. We're not on the field. Because if you go up there and try and hit a 94-mile-an-hour slider, good luck to you. You might wet yourself. So I'm not dismissing that. But these guys get paid a lot of money for a reason. And little things like scoring runs without the home run is a big deal. I'm watching them go opposite. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton must feel like he ran a marathon yesterday. He's in right field. Like, every ball in the late innings was hit to him. And they're testing him. Duran going first to third on a ball that's basically behind him. And Stanton made a good throw on the one specific play I'm talking about, but he beats it out. These guys, and they are pushing them. They are pressing the Yankees. We talked about the Blue Jays earlier on. There's no question that the Blue Jays are running and gunning and doing the little things. It's not all about the home run. Listen, when you hit them, it's a beautiful thing to watch. I'm not saying it's not. You know, when you watch Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, it's mesmerizing. But you know what's a problem? Is when, and let me be very clear when I say this, because I'm not going after this guy. I have said now for a few years that Aaron Judge is the greatest baseball player I have ever watched. And by that, I mean, he scores runs, he drives in runs, he is a feared hitter, he plays a solid right field. Hell, the guy played center field. I know he dropped the ball in the World Series. He played center field last year. Like, he's a baseball player. He is out there doing everything you want him to do. He's got a rifle for a right arm. He can hit for power.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Power, he can hit for average, but man, does he sometimes go into these prolonged slumps. And when you look at what he has done or not done since he's been back, I think it's 16 games. The Yankees are 9-7, ups, downs all over the place in the month of August. Now, he didn't play the first few games of August because of the elbow injury. But in the month of August now, in those 16 games, he's got 3 home runs. That's it. He's not hitting for a good average. He's batting .218. And I think, I got to double check it, but I think he's only got 9 or 10 RBIs in the month. You're not going to win that way. If not for Giancarlo Stanton, who has hit the hell out of the baseball, I don't know where they would be. They're 9-7 in those 16 games I'm talking about. Without Stanton, I don't know, they could be 6-10 because he's had some huge at-bats and he's been fantastic. And so the Yankees have a game now where I think BT, they had Mike Francesa on Friday with the whole golf issues from Thursday. And I think Mike and BT were calling Friday night's game like the biggest game of the year, a must win. Max Fried on the mound. Got to stop this slide against the Red Sox. Well, they did. And then you go into yesterday. They've got to stop this slide against the Red Sox. This is inexcusable. 7 in a row. They got embarrassed yesterday. Embarrassed. Like, come on. And you got, and you give, you know, whether it's the Met fan or the Yankee fan, I give you guys so much credit. Because while there have been slides and swoons and just weeks of lackluster, crappy baseball, you guys are showing up and showing out. That place was packed yesterday. Citi Field, while the Mets were vomiting all over themselves in June and July, Citi Field has been packed every night waiting for this explosion. And perhaps you'll get it. But I got to tell you, as I sit here on August 20, whatever it is, 24th, we do not have two teams, in my opinion, that look like they are going to challenge for much of anything in the postseason. I think they'll both get there. And last week, I didn't feel that way about the Mets. At this point, I actually feel like the Mets might have found something with McClain. I know you've got other youngsters that are kind of behind him that might be coming up. And if that's the case, maybe we start to turn over the rotation. Big issue, though, Sean Manaea has been lousy. Kodai Senga this year, lousy. I don't give a damn what the ERA says. You can take that 2-point whatever ERA he has and throw it out the window. The guy gives you 5 innings, 100 pitches, and I'm sorry. When you leave a game after 5, you have 4 innings to get through. Not good enough. So he, right now, to me, he's not much of an ace. So the Mets, to me, have pitching issues. While I do think glass half full, when I think of the Sproats and the Tongs and the McClains, the future, I think, is very bright pitching-wise for the Mets with the starting rotation. Right now, not good enough. It's not good enough. You got a good start yesterday, for sure, from Clay Holmes, but are you not a little concerned as we go through August into September and then hopefully October that a reliever turned starter doesn't burn out a little bit. We kind of saw that already. We saw the dip. Maybe he's back. I don't know how the arm holds up, though. First year as a starter, I don't know. So while I think they'll get there, I think they'll get there now. I've kind of changed my tune on it a little bit as we flip-flop. I don't think they're going far. I just don't. Unless Juan Soto is all of a sudden going to turn into the guy that we saw. It's funny. The Yankees are missing last year's version of Juan Soto, and now the Mets are missing last year's version of Juan Soto as they have Juan Soto, and they have all year. The numbers are going to look good, but if you're watching every day, Juan Soto has not been a great player for the Mets. He just hasn't been. Now, can he turn into it? We've seen it before. Sure. They need him to do that. They need Mark Vientos to be this version of Vientos as opposed to what we saw for 3.5 months. I just don't know that you're going to get it. And that's why it looks like a lack of consistency, which is what this season has been. It has been crap across the board, essentially, from both these two teams in terms of consistent baseball. Why should we ever think that they're going to turn it around in October? Are they capable of it? Of course they are. And I will always come back to the teams have superstar players that make a bleep ton of money. Go earn it. And you can sit here and look at the Yankee failures over the years, and you can blame Brian Cashman, you can blame Aaron, you can blame anybody you want. While I will sit here and tell you he's the greatest thing I have ever seen on the baseball field, I will also tell you that Aaron Judge has to take a lot of the responsibility on his shoulders for why this team has not won the World Series because of his disappearing act in the postseason. You've got superstar players. Go earn your paycheck. You've got Stanton. You've got Judge. You've got Bellinger. You've got Goldschmidt. You've got Fried. And I don't want to hear about the Gerrit Cole. Yeah, all right, Gerrit Cole's injured and out. I get it. You've got Max Fried and Carlos Rodon making a fortune. Go earn it. Fried was good Friday night. Where was the offense? It's just inconsistent, inconsistent, inconsistent. And then they string together a couple of good wins against okay teams. Tampa's nothing to sneeze at, but they're also, they're okay. Great. They played well against Tampa. Here come the Red Sox. We're running, we're hitting, we're slashing, we're scoring. And oh, by the way, we're pitching better than you. The Yankees get a good performance on Friday night. The Red Sox get a better one from Bayo. Like, that's the way the season has gone. And I don't know at this point that there are any answers other than the guys that are being paid to produce need to produce. There's no magic formula. If you are Aaron Boone or Carlos Mendoza, and again, I know the Mets have won a couple of games here. They got a chance to sweep Atlanta, so a little bit of a better feel about the Mets today for sure. But when you look at them in terms of the last 2 to 3 months, the totality of what they have been for the last 12 weeks is less than impressive. And there is nothing at this point that Carlos Mendoza or Aaron Boone are going to do that is going to change that. It's got to come from the players on the field. It has to. How about, and I'm not, yeah, I guess I am picking on him. How about the Jazz Chisholm at bat yesterday when they pinch hit for him? And I know what they were going for at that point. It was 5-1. You had a couple of guys on base. You were hoping for the 3-run homer. Again, this is what we're hoping for, a 3-run homer. God forbid we just move guys around. God forbid we hit a ball in the gap and keep the inning going. No, he's up there to hit a home run. He was so overmatched in that at bat, it was pathetic. For a guy that's been as good as he has been and can hit the long ball, and he's fun to watch. I like watching Jazz Chisholm. That at bat was awful. I mean, the ball was by him before he's swinging, and maybe he's not used to pinch hitting. I don't know. And cold off the bench, not sure. But what an awful, awful at bat in one of the bigger spots. And they didn't have many yesterday. There were not, you know, it wasn't like they were leaving guys on every inning. There was a whole hell of a lot of nothing in that game. Not from the Red Sox, though. Not from the Red Sox. Runners in scoring position, bang, base hit. Yankees runners in scoring position, whiff. Whiff. More whiff. So, and the Yankees have been sloppy, as we know. You know, you can talk about the defense. I mean, the game, my God, the game on Thursday. 4 errors and 9 walks. I'll come back to how I started this. What are we watching? That is a team that's got a payroll that is in the top, I think, top five in Major League Baseball. And you want to say, oh, come on, they don't do that every game. No, four errors and nine walks, not every game. But they play a lot of sloppy baseball. A lot of sloppy baseball. You know, and it's not, and let's be clear too, it's not just the Yankees that play this way. It's not, was it Austin Wells that forgot how many outs there were a couple of weeks ago? Okay, you had Ellie De La Cruz did the same thing with the Reds, and they got Terry Francona as the manager. These things happen. If you watch games around the league, you see bad plays, mental mistakes. It is a league-wide issue, but some teams do it more than others. And the Yankees are one of those teams. If you're a diehard Yankee fan, you are pissed off at this. Really, again, they're nine games over 500, but it feels like that they are a bad baseball team. And I know they're not, but God, watching them, they seem lifeless, and they sit there and talk about urgency, yet they do nothing. And there's no doubt, when you are struggling, it looks worse than it is. And when you are thriving, it looks better than it is. All of that is true. Well, at what point are we going to get out of this malaise and start beating teams inside your division? They have been, when you think about the Yankees against the AL East, specifically Toronto and Boston, they have been owned by those two teams. That's not the way this is supposed to go. It was supposed to be the other way around. They had that six-game lead in the division. Hell, I was ready to call the division back in July. Man, has it gone sour. So we will take all your calls, I promise, coming up on the other side right after 9 o'clock. I'll get right to your calls because the Yankees really are the story. The Mets, too. But to me, the Yankees are the lead today for the most part, given what we've watched over the last 3 days, where they are, how they've reacted, how they've played, how they haven't hit, and just, you know, what this season is becoming right in front of our very eyes. So 888-808-1019 is the number. We've got you till 1 o'clock in for Mark Melusis right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.